O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Amen. This is the Sunday in which we have planned our parish annual meeting, which will happen immediately after worship. And for that reason, I will try and be brief with my sermon this morning, but I know that probably sounds like an empty promise to y'all. I'll do my best. Throw something at me if I go too long. What I want to do actually with this sermon is kind of get a little meta, if I can. That is, I want to step back and talk about the purpose of the sermon for a minute. And I know I've preached on this before, but I think it might be helpful to do it again, and I think I can keep it rather brief. And I'll do that by looking at this gospel passage and the role of John the Baptist in this gospel passage. And just to let you know where we're going with this, essentially I see my role as a preacher, as one who proclaims the gospel from the pulpit, or sometimes from the aisle, I see myself as being in a very similar role to John the Baptist in today's gospel lesson. John the Baptist, who says whenever Jesus walks by, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Look over there at him. Quit looking at me. Look at that guy. Go and follow him." Over in the adult Sunday school, of course, we've been talking about the world religions all through the year now, and we're wrapping up our time talking about Buddhism. And there's a phrase from some forms of Buddhism that I think has become fairly familiar in American culture because of kung fu movies, right? And it's the image of the finger pointing at the moon. And have y'all heard that? You know, the finger pointing at the moon. You're making a mistake if you focus on the finger. The point is to look to the moon, right? That's kind of the way John the Baptist is operating in this gospel text. He's saying, "I'm the finger pointing at the moon. I'm pointing you in another direction. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about that guy over there. Who he is and what he is doing for you and for your salvation. It's not about me." When I was in, I think I've told many of y'all this before, maybe even mentioned in a sermon. When I was in seminary, I had a professor who, a homiletics professor, who would dock us a whole letter grade if we ever said I or me in a sermon that we preached in that class. We would fail that assignment, preaching a sermon in that class, if we told a story about ourselves. And her whole point was this: everybody is always screaming for attention. Hey, look at me. Hey, pay attention to me. And everything we do, not just the things that we say, but every gesture, every way that we move our body is in some ways trying to get at least somebody's attention to us. Maybe we don't want everybody's attention, but we often want the right person or the right person's attention. We're always doing this. And so she would say, even when you're in the pulpit and you never say anything about yourself, you're screaming, "Pay attention to me." I mean, think about it. You're the only one wearing the fancy dress. You're the one up high. Everything about the situation is saying, "Pay attention to me. Pay attention to the guy up in the pulpit or the woman up in the pulpit." And so you should not bring yourself too much into your sermon. Now, I've just told you a story about myself, about how I took this class and this professor told me not to do this. So obviously, I don't always follow her direction, but I think the impulse was right. I think she had to break us first as seminary students who unwittingly, not intentionally, unwittingly would have gone into every pulpit and made the sermon about us. And it's not about us. If it's about us, then we're just saying, hey, pay attention to the finger. But the finger's supposed to be pointing to the moon. If it's about us, then John the Baptist should have said, hey, you see that guy over there? Don't pay any attention to him. Come over here and let me baptize you. But he didn't. He said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, I try and do a lot of teaching in my sermons because I think we live in a time when we can no longer just assume that even the person who comes to church fairly regularly actually knows the Christian faith. We live in a time when teaching is paramount. And so I try and pack as much teaching into my sermons, and you all know that, and you get tired of it sometimes. But I try and pack as much teaching into my sermons as I possibly can. But really, the point of the sermon is for me to help you fall in love with Jesus Christ. And the way that you come to love and follow Jesus Christ is not by me telling you, you need to love and follow Jesus Christ. You better do that. It's certainly not by me telling you, if you don't do that, something bad's going to happen to you. The only way, I think, that any of you, including myself, will ever come to truly love our Lord Jesus Christ and follow him, which is not a one-time decision, but a decision we make every single day, is by hearing about how much he loves you. I mean, think about it. Of the people that you have loved in your life, have you loved them because somebody commanded you to love them? Or have you loved them because of the love they showed to you? So ultimately, the purpose of these sermons, though I try and pack them as full of teaching as I possibly can, is not necessarily the teaching, but just to tell you how much the God of all creation loves you, and how that love was so deep, so wide, and so high that it took human flesh and human nature. And that love lived and died and was raised for you and for your salvation. I will proclaim that message every single Sunday with the hope that even just one of you will, in my preaching, hear and know and believe that that love is for you and for your salvation. And you will decide to follow Jesus. Amen.